A man climbs a tower with a rifle and kills 16 people. Before doing so, he writes a suicide note, requesting an autopsy, convinced something is wrong with his mind. The doctors find it, a nickel-sized tumor pressing against his amygdala, the brain's aggression center. Charles Whitman's 1966 tragedy poses an unsettling question. If a small piece of tissue can transform a person into a killer, where does you end and biology begin? The answer is both simple and profound. You are your brain. Every thought, emotion, and decision emerges from 3 pounds of tissue containing roughly 86 billion neurons, each forming thousands of connections. Change the brain, and you change the person. Understanding this organ means understanding ourselves in ways that are simultaneously humbling and empowering. This is an abstract philosophy. It's the foundation for comprehending everything from why teenagers take reckless risks to why we fall in love, make moral judgments, and construct the reality we experience moment by moment. A giraffe walks within an hour of birth. A dolphin swims immediately. A human baby? Helpless for months, unable to walk for a year, dependent for decades. This isn't a design flaw, it's our superpower. Unlike animals hardwired for specific environments, human brains arrive live-wired, ready to be sculpted by experience. During the first 2 years, your brain forms up to 2 million new synaptic connections every second, reaching 100 trillion by age 2, double what an adult has. Then comes the pruning. Like a sculptor chipping away marble, your brain systematically eliminates half these connections. The ones you use strengthen. The ones you don't fade away. Romanian orphanage studies revealed the stakes. Children deprived of consistent care developed indiscriminate friendliness, approaching strangers as readily as caregivers. Their brains showed dramatically reduced activity, with IQs averaging around 70. Yet the Bucharest Early Intervention Project offered hope. Children placed in loving foster homes before age 2 recovered significantly. The teenage brain undergoes its own renovation. The medial prefrontal cortex becomes hyperactive around age 15, making teens acutely self-conscious, while the pleasure-seeking system matures before the decision-making system, explaining why skateboarding off the roof sounds reasonable. Even after major transformations complete around age 25, plasticity continues. London cab drivers who memorize 25,000 streets develop enlarged hippocampi. Every experience leaves physical footprints in neural architecture. Your body replaces its atoms every 7 years, yet you feel continuous. Memory connects these versions, except it's not a recording. Each recall is like opening a document, editing it, and saving it anew. When you experience something, a friend's birthday dinner, specific neural patterns activate for each detail, conversation, taste, ambiance. The hippocampus links these patterns into associative networks. Later, tasting similar cake reactivates the constellation, but it's never complete. Neurons multitask across memory networks, so each memory fades and muddles as neurons join new teams. Elizabeth Loftus demonstrated this malleability. Ask about cars smashing versus hitting, and witnesses estimate higher speeds. More dramatically, she implanted false memories of being lost in malls. Participants accepted these fabrications and embellished them, adding stores, clothing, emotions they supposedly felt. As we age, Alzheimer's threatens neural architecture. Yet the Religious Orders study revealed something surprising. Some participants maintain sharp minds despite brains riddled with Alzheimer's pathology. The protective factor? Cognitive reserve, built through mental exercise, social activity, conscientiousness, and purpose. A cognitively fit brain develops multiple pathways to accomplish tasks, compensating when disease damages some networks. Stare at the rotating snake's illusion, and you'll see motion where none exists. Look at the checkerboard illusion, and identical squares appear dramatically different. These aren't tricks of the eye, they're revelations about how perception works. Sealed inside your skull, your brain never directly experiences the external world. Everything you perceive is an electrochemical rendition in a dark theater. Mike May lost his sight at 3.5. After 40 years, stem cell treatment repaired his corneas. When bandages came off, he had functioning eyes but couldn't make sense of visual information. During decades of blindness, his visual cortex had been repurposed. A 1963 experiment confirmed this principle. Two kittens experienced identical visual input in a striped cylinder, but only the one that walked independently developed normal vision. The passive kitten, carried in a gondola, never learned to see properly. Vision requires cross-referencing between actions and consequences. Different sensory inputs process at varying speeds. Visual data takes longer than auditory information, which is why sprinters respond faster to a starting pistol than a light flash. Yet, when you clap, sight and sound appear synchronized. Your brain collects all sensory information before constructing coherent reality, effectively making you live slightly in the past, a necessary delay to create the illusion of a unified present moment. Each morning, consciousness flickers to life, the most complex object in the known universe becoming aware of its existence. You feel in control, but the conscious you is only a fraction of your brain's activity. Lifting a coffee cup requires trillions of electrical impulses, visual scanning, memory retrieval, signals from frontal to motor cortex, compensating for weight and temperature. Yet you remain oblivious to these calculations. Our brains build dedicated circuitry for practiced skills. Once etched into neural pathways, these skills run without conscious effort, walking, driving, typing. The unconscious shapes our lives profoundly. Holding warm drinks makes us judge relationships more favorably. Foul smells lead to harsher moral judgments. Implicit egotism explains why dentists are disproportionately named Dennis. Even simple choices unleash hurricanes of neural activity. Deciding between mint or lemon frozen yogurt, neural populations compete like political parties, each trying to suppress the other. This explains why you argue with yourself, different parts battling for control. Emotions aren't just adding richness, they're essential for decision-making. When the orbitofrontal cortex is damaged, people articulate pros and cons but remain paralyzed by indecision. Without emotional signals, no choice feels different from another. To overcome immediate reward seduction, we can use a Ulysses contract, arranging things now so our future selves can't misbehave. Human brains dedicate substantial circuitry to social processing, monitoring others, communicating, and reading emotions. This wiring runs so deep, we attribute intentions to moving geometric shapes, turning triangles into characters with motivations. Our brains mirror others' expressions to decode emotions, explaining why long-married couples grow to resemble each other. When witnessing pain, our brain's emotional centers activate. We literally feel others' suffering through neural simulation. Social rejection physically hurts. When neuroscientist Naomi Eisenberger had volunteers play ball toss in an fMRI scanner, exclusion activated their pain matrix. This wiring drives constant group formation, but every in-group creates out-groups, explaining humanity's darkest chapters. Brain imaging shows empathy shifts based on group membership. When participants watched hands with different religious labels being stabbed, they showed stronger empathic responses for their in-group. Dehumanization represents an extreme neural shift. Viewing stigmatized groups like the homeless reduces medial prefrontal cortex activity, processing them more like objects than humans. Amplified through propaganda, this enables genocide by shutting down systems recognizing others' humanity. Understanding this machinery reveals why vigilance matters. It's fighting our brain's tendency to categorize and dismiss. We stand at an unprecedented moment. For millennia, we lived the same cycle: birth, fragile body, narrow senses, death. Science now offers tools to transcend this story. When Cameron Mott had half her brain removed for severe epilepsy, the remaining half rewired itself completely. Cochlear and retinal implants restore hearing and vision by digitizing signals the brain learns to interpret. Our standard senses capture only a fraction of available information. The brain functions as a general-purpose computing device, processing whatever data it receives, explaining the incredible diversity of sensory systems across species. Jan Scheuermann, paralyzed by disease, controls a robotic arm through electrodes in her motor cortex, reaching and grasping on command. Some researchers pursue cryopreservation, hoping future technology will revive preserved bodies. Others explore extracting brain information directly. If consciousness depends on computations rather than biological neurons, your mind could theoretically run on any substrate, preserving the right patterns. Understanding the brain won't solve all problems, but it's the first step toward compassion. You are your brain, but your brain isn't fixed. It's live-wired, constantly adapting, always becoming.